This is VLX 10, Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 to 12, Humility for Past Sins. My name is Father David Nix. You can find this at Padre Peregrino on my blog, Padre Peregrino on Apple Podcasts, and Padre Peregrino on YouTube. VLX stands for Video Lectio Divina, which means the video version of Catholic meditation, also called mental prayer, also called the Apophatic Method of St. Bruno, also called the Cataphatic Method of St. Teresa of Avila and St. Ignatius of Loyola. If you're interested in learning this from the start, you don't really have to catch up on all of the past podcasts. Just go listen to VLX 2. Again, that's Video Lectio Divina. Lectio means reading. Divina is divine. So Video Divine Reading number 2 at Padre Peregrino. VLX 2 at Padre Peregrino on either podcasts or the blog or YouTube will catch you up pretty up to speed. What we're doing is we're meditating through the Gospels, and we just started a couple weeks ago in Matthew. So we're pretty much at the beginning at Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 to 12. So please get your Bible out if you're following along, or if you're just using this as a Bible study on the go, that's fine too. What I'm doing now is actually releasing this at the same time every day. I'm also releasing the Catechism series at the same time every day. That's going to be noon Eastern. So again, VLX is the meditation series. CPX is the Catechism series. Both, if I can stay on this on track, is going to be released noon Eastern. That's 9 a.m. in California. That's 10 a.m. here in Colorado. And that's 6 p.m. for most of Europe, and there are a few listeners out in Asia. That's 9:30 p.m. in Calcutta, and that's midnight in Singapore. You'll notice if you're following along in the Bible, I use the ESV and the RSV versions of the Bible because the DRB is not dynamic enough or updated enough in its translation for mental prayer. Again, today I'm doing VLX 10 on Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 to 12, and in 2 days I'm going to do VLX 11. VLX 11 I'm also going to do on Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 to 12. Notice that's the same verses and same chapter. The difference is today's going to bring you to humility, today's going to bring you pretty low, and next time, VLX 11, that's going to bring you to glory. That's going to be very encouraging. So today's might be hard for you, but remember that St. Ignatius of Loyola considers tears of repentance to be a consolation, not a desolation. Again, St. Ignatius of Loyola, who we're basing half this series on, he considers tears of repentance to be a consolation, not a desolation. So you'll want your Bible open to Matthew chapter 3 all week, essentially. Also, I did say earlier we weren't going to pray before each one, but I kind of changed my mind. I think it is good to pray before each one. What I'm going to do is the Byzantine Liturgy's Pentecost Vespers, just a single troparion there, and you can actually find it in the New Catechism 2671. I'm going to say it pretty briefly before the gospel that I read every time, but again, if you want to pray this with me or in your heart, there's a couple different translations. I think I actually used one slightly different than the catechism, but the New Catechism 2671 is Byzantine Liturgy's Pentecost Vespers, a single troparion, and it goes like this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly King, Consoler Spirit, Spirit of Truth, who art present everywhere and filling all things, treasure of all good and source of all life, come dwell in us, cleanse us, and save us, you who are all good. Amen. Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. The first pronoun, he, that you're about to hear refers to St. John the Baptist. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. So first we're going to do St. Bruno, and again, today we look at humility. Next time we're going to look at the same verses, but for glory. So the St. Bruno method, looking at humility, this is what I'm going to propose to you. Remember, first of all, in his method, we look at the Lectio and the Meditatio, and what I'm going to propose today is, and again, this one's going to be a little bit harder, is look where you have lived in presumption as a Catholic your whole life. Or maybe for the non-Catholic Christians, look at how you've lived in presumption just for being a Christian. Maybe people look at your outside life, but you know you live a double life. Or maybe there's some even non-Christians out there listening. Look at the pride that you're an American that you walk around with. Or maybe there's a rich person in India of a different caste system or something. Or maybe you have some gift or talent that you make that makes you think that you're better than somebody else. Now, there's a lot of baby boomers watching this series who are holy and actually very devout. But I'll put it this way. Many priests know that every time they get a letter from a baby boomer saying that you're doing this wrong or you don't have to be so conservative or whatever else, almost always, or I should say very frequently, it starts with, I was an altar server in the 1950s, or I was an altar server in the 1960s. It's almost as if to say, I have a birthright of being a Catholic, and therefore you have no right to tell me what to do. I really think that there was a lot of the same pride that first century in Israel. Today's a lot like first century Judaism, that people lack supernatural faith, but they think, like the Pharisees, that they're guaranteed heaven just because they're Catholic. St. John the Baptist has words for you today. I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. In other words, what he's saying is, big deal that you're a Pharisee who thinks Abraham is his father. Big deal that you're an American who thinks he's a Catholic. Big deal that you're a Kennedy Catholic from Boston. It means nothing before God. And maybe even harder for most of the viewers, big deal that you go to the traditional Latin Mass. Do you think going to the traditional Latin Mass is your gift to God or God's gift to you? The fact you maybe pray the rosary every day, do you think that's your gift to God or is that Our Lady's gift to you? God could turn a bunch of stones into traditionalists, is what St. John the Baptist is saying today. It doesn't matter at all how special you think you are if you're still sinning. All your devotion means nothing if what? If what? If you're not really sorry for your past sins. And John the Baptist rocks us with that next line. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And again, I said, today's going to be harder. Next time's going to be a little bit more glorious. But I want us to feel what he would have made us feel like if this was first century Catholicism supplanting Judaism. This is the Spiritual Exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola, and I think the best translation is by Puhl, P-U-H-L, if you want to get this off of Amazon, because we're going to actually talk about this a lot, and sometime between Matthew's Gospel and the next Gospel, I even might do some of the spiritual exercises, but I'm going to read you something from page 28 right here. St. Ignatius asks us, imagine Christ our Lord present before you upon the cross and begin to speak with him, asking him how it is that though he is the Creator, he has stooped to become man and to pass from eternal life to death here in time, that thus he might die for our sins. I shall also reflect upon myself and ask, what have I done for Christ? What am I doing for Christ? What ought I to do for Christ? As I behold Christ in this plight, nailed to the cross, I shall ponder upon what presents itself to my mind. What St. Ignatius of Loyola is implying there is very little have you and I done for Jesus. Most of us have wasted our vocations complaining or scrolling through the news or talking about why we're better than others or even doing worse mortal sins. St. John the Baptist would not let us who go to the traditional Latin Mass off the hook for anything. All that matters today is this: bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. Yes, it's true that we could apply St. John the Baptist's words to the hierarchy way back in the first century Israel so easily to the hierarchy today. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Yeah, John the Baptist was hard on the hierarchy, and we have some great Catholics who are hard on the hierarchy today. But that's not the point of today's meditation. The point of today's meditation is St. John the Baptist, also called the average lay person out there, the person who is just a blue-collar worker, yeah, he was a little more gentle with them, but he really called them to repentance too. And that's where in the Ignatian way of prayer, you too can look at your sins. And not in despair and not in presumption, you should feel the weight of that, that you can repent because that also is a gift from God. So in the method of St. Bruno, ask yourself what you've really done for Christ and which sins maybe you're just confessing over and over and over but not repenting for as you meditate on one of these two lines that I'm going to propose to you today from Matthew chapter 3. Either bear fruit in keeping with repentance. That would be enough to spend 15 minutes of prayer on. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Or every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. That'd be a good one to meditate on for 15 minutes, applying directly to your life. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Let's apply today's meditation to St. Teresa of Avila and St. Ignatius of Loyola. Also, I'm going to pull you down in humility this time, but next time again, we'll go up in glory. So you're in line waiting to speak to John the Baptist. Imagine yourself in Israel. You are actually next to this River Jordan. It's not super deep. It's, I think, 4 to 5 feet deep. I've been there once. And there's trees lining it. That's really how it is in real life. There's trees lining it. And notice from last time's VLX, you may have noticed there's not just people getting baptized, but there's actually people confessing their sins. Go look. You can find it in English, in Latin, in the Greek. The people are not just getting baptized. They're also confessing their sins. Okay, so let's set up the sound in light of that. What does it sound like? And again, Ignatius of Loyola and Teresa of Avila want us to use our imaginations. You are in line. There's hundreds, maybe thousands of Jews in line with you. Hear that silence, maybe that murmur. What does the water of the River Jordan passing by sound like? It's not a lot of rapids, I can tell you that, having been there. There's not a lot of rapids, but you can hear a trickle, you know. What does it sound like, people confessing their sins in a low voice? Maybe weeping as they say their sins to John the Baptist. Not out of despair, like I said, not out of despair, but sorrow and love for God. What will you tell him? Start to maybe think of the worst sin you've ever committed. Maybe that's what you're supposed to do today. Obviously, to make a good lifetime confession, you need to name more than just your worst sin. You have to name them all. But because you're just doing 15 minutes a day, maybe you're going to think of just going up and naming to him the worst thing you've ever done in life. Try to think of that as you're waiting in line. How about the feeling? Feel that heat of Israel, but it's not scorching. It's a clear day. There's no clouds up in the sky. What else do you see? You look back and you see long lines of people. Are they young? Are they old? Are they a mix? There are trees, as I said, lining the Jordan. See them in your eye. Maybe John the Baptist lets his penitents remain in the shade of a tree in the middle of that Jordan as he himself takes the heat and purposefully avoids the shadows to offer penance for his penitents. Just like how St. John Vianney did most of his penance for his penitents, that great saint who was named after St. John the Baptist. You look in the water, you can see these stones at the bottom of the River Jordan. It's only about 4 feet deep, the water's going over them, but it's clear. Are these the stones that God could easily turn into Catholics? For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. But there you are waiting in line, and you notice something nearly unbelievable while you're waiting in line. Our Lord Jesus is right in front of you. Now listen to John the Baptist as Jesus Christ is right in front of you and what he has to say about him. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Jesus looks gentle enough and quiet enough, but here this man who embodies holiness himself, St. John the Baptist, says that he's not even worthy to unstrap or carry his sandals, depending on the translation. Not worthy to unstrap his sandals, and he's in front of you. And you hear these terrible words. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Again, the words of St. Ignatius of Loyola. What have I done for Christ? What am I doing for Christ? What ought I to do for Christ? Perhaps you tell Jesus, you fall down in line and kiss his feet, and you tell him the very worst sin you've ever committed and how sorry you are and how you want this day in line as you go up to be baptized either before our Lord or after our Lord, that you want this to be the first day of the rest of your life not sinning. And as Jesus is in front of you in line, tell him that you're sorry for his upcoming crucifixion that you did to him. And that today is the day, like all these other people in line, that you want to sin no more. Et benedicat vos omnipotens Deus, Pater et Filius et Spiritus Sanctus. Amen.